Welcome back to Championship Bow Hunting. We're coming to you here mid-September in Colorado, and for the most part, many of us Western hunters have been gone from normal day-to-day activities. So not an excuse, but we're here to give you a mid-season report and also bring on a very special guest and good friend of mine who is one half of the Hamsky duo and the original number one Big Sexy, Andrew Munsell. Good morning.
Good morning, Phil. That's quite the intro.
How you doing this morning, man?
You know, I've been a little bit under the weather for about 5 days with a sinus infection, and as you mentioned, being a bow hunter in Colorado, that middle of the season, that's exactly what you don't want to have happen. But yeah, I'm here. I'm getting better. I'm getting ready to head in the mountains.
Yeah, no, I when I was hunting last month, sheep, about 2 days after I got back from my first trip out, I got a cold.
And I was
only like 3 or 4 days between trips, so I was really stressing it. And I think the second hike in finally broke everything loose, and I kind of hacked it up that first night, and I was good after that. So maybe a little
yeah.
A little sweating on the mountain will loosened up.
Yep, get the legs pumping. We'll definitely be doing some of that. We're rolling out on Saturday. We're booking hunting the weekend there through the week. So
who are you going with?
I'll go with a good friend of mine, Jeremy Munoz. We've been hunting this area for a while. And, we went out the first weekend, and it was pretty warm and pretty buggy. And we bought some, I don't know if everyone knows, you can buy bee tags, cow tags in Colorado. And this is a lesson for everybody. Make sure you know what units your bee tags are good for. We originally bought the bee tags to hunt bear in a different unit. Colorado DOW has actually kind of loosened up the requirements for bear hunting relative to which tags do you need to hold to where you can hunt bear for those limited over-the-counter tags for archery. So we bought these bee tags so we can hunt this other unit, our favorite unit for bear. Little did we know they were good for Army primary elk unit. So opening weekend, we had cow elk running. We had a couple of them. I got a film almost running Jeremy over, and we decided not to shoot because we're thinking we're going to burn our one and only precious either sex tag in that unit. We're hoping we go out this weekend and we get the same cow opportunities and while we're chasing the bulls. We got basically four tags to fill. So.
You're saying the cow only tag is only valid in your primary elk tag unit?
No. So the bear, I've kind of been, kind of favor bear hunting because I've only killed one spot and stock after many years of trying, it was a couple of years ago. And it's a very challenging hunt if you go out bear hunting. They're not, they're not herd animals. They're very nomadic and they're challenging to hunt. So to hunt bear in Colorado with this limited, limited over-the-counter archery tag, you have to have either an elk or a deer tag for that unit also.
Right.
And in the past, you would say, in the past, it was usually your primary elk or deer tag. So if you got a deer tag, I'm going to say unit 28, you got a deer tag, you can get a bear tag for unit 28, right? So you had to have a valid elk or deer license in that unit where you're hunting bear. And the bee tag didn't count. This year, they said, you know what, we have so many bears, if we just watch the news, there's a lot of bear problems in the front range. They said, you don't have to hunt bear in the unit you're holding your bee tag. Does that make sense? So we can have a bee tag for unit 28 and go hunt bear in unit, 63.
Sure.
I don't know if those units are bee tag units, but just saying. Whereas before, if you had a, if you were hunting in unit 28 with the B tag, you had to hunt bear in unit 28 with the B tag.
Right.
Does that make sense?
And you I got you.
And you had to draw your bear tag for unit 28.
Yeah, that's what I misunderstood you on the first sentence there, but
sorry about that.
No, that's no, you're good. And so you guys had cows all around you then.
Right. And exactly. So the bottom line is we could have shot the cows. We could have had meat in the freezer. We could have been going back this last week to hunt, you know, just chasing bulls and still went bear hunting in the other unit. But, so now we're all jammed up in the last week and then I got sick. So, but nevertheless, we get to go out. So that's, you know, about 90% of it anyway.
You know, you bring up an interesting topic with the bear hunting there, and it's not something I'd plan on covering, but since we've kind of touched on it, like you said, hunting bear in Colorado is not like hunting bear in Idaho or some other states where you're allowed to bait or you're allowed to use dogs.
Yeah.
We don't get any of those, I don't want to call them luxuries, but any of those opportunities to do it in a different method.
Right.
So like you said, hunting bear in Colorado is very much opportunistic and or very skilled because of the method that we have to use, which is primarily spot and stalk or ambush over like a water hole or something, right?
Right. Or a carcass kill or something like that. Yeah.
Right. That can't be moved. Yeah. The whole nine, it's really limited as to, it makes it difficult to shoot a bear in Colorado.
Yeah. Most bears in Colorado are shot, kind of opportunistically, like you said, while elk hunters are out elk hunting and they trip over a bear and they go, oh, there's a bear, and they shoot it.
Right.
I started off, you know, my Western bow hunting, you know, career, if you want to say that, and when I lived in Arizona, and believe it or not, the desert has bears, and you can't bait down there, you can't run dogs, can't do anything, so hunting a bear in Arizona is pretty tough,
sure.
You know, and I found them, I glassed them, I talked to people, and a good friend of mine down there, he's probably the most successful unheard of bow hunter probably on the planet. This guy is crazy good. His name's Jesse Lim. He shoots for PSC on the Gorilla Squad. And give him a shout. But I can't tell you, he shot so many book animals, it's crazy. And the one animal he had the hardest time killing with a bow, and this guy is like ninja, you know, archery bow hunter guy. And just a great shot, too. It took him probably 20 years to kill a bear with his bow.
Wow.
That's how hard it can be. I'm not saying everyone's gotta wait 20 years, but yeah. So if you went out and you said, here's the deal, I'm just gonna grab my bear tag and I'm just hunting bear. You know, I'm not chasing elk, I'm just gonna go hunt a bear. You might find it challenging and rewarding all at the same time.
You might be hiking with your weapon quite a bit.
Yeah.
Taking your bow for a hike.
Spend a lot of time behind glass. And just to let you know, bears, they don't have antlers. So they're really tough to see in scrub oak.
Well, and like you said, it's just there in certain areas, there is a lot of bear.
Yeah, there are.
Sometimes hunting opportunities in some of those same areas is not ideal, whether it's private land or just restricted access or whatever, because the bear seem to be moving closer to where, you know, food is easier to acquire, and sometimes that happens to be around a town or a small city.
Exactly. But if someone, you know, and the other thing is they're just always moving. You know, they're just never really sitting still. So, but anyway.
No, that's it, man. It's an interesting topic because I've not bear hunted much. You know, it's been one of those deals that we, you know, I grew up rifle hunting, and when we would go and it was already, you know, snow on the ground, and the odds of seeing bear later in October, early November just seemed to be even less.
Yeah.
And where we used to go, they used to actually, on, you know, National Forest, when I, you know, from when I was 12 to 22 or 24, landowners would lease with the Division of Wildlife or with the whatever, the Forest Services to graze sheep. You know, domestic sheep onto the forest, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a little known fact that people don't know, some of those sheep herders, their job is to protect the sheep, you know, and whether it be a coyote, a bear, mountain lion, mm-hmm. they would basically do any means necessary to protect those. Shoot a bear, shoot a coyote.
Yep.
And what a lot of people don't know is the ranchers would give them a bonus, a cash bonus. Those guys don't make a lot of money. I've talked to a number of them.
Yep.
Usually come from different countries just to do this because people don't want that job.
Exactly.
And they'd give them a cash bonus for shooting a bear or shooting a coyote. So some of those areas, we wouldn't see any predators or very little predators because the sheep herders had been in there for a couple months prior to us hunting and they were either spooked off or they were gone. So anyway, I don't want to get off too far, see a squirrel. And,
we're off roading already.
It's all good, man. So, I highly respect your opinion and your partner, Sean.
Yep.
Yeah, no, and you guys are good friends of mine. And you know, establishing yourselves as, an equipment manufacturer in the industry with just top-notch equipment. But there's everything else that you guys do as well. You're not just an engineer, You're a bow hunter with experience that's taken a large number of animals and been successful and shot tournaments and everything else. But there's one other thing that I wanted to talk to you about today. And that is, some people want to be on, have their own hunting show, or some people want to just, through social media or whatever, have the notoriety. And whether it's just, hey, look at me, I worked my butt off for this hunt and I'm successful, shine a little light on it. Hey, man, that's fine. The process that we go through to get to that end result is very rewarding. So at the end of that, a lot of people like to write articles, submit articles to magazines, different blogs or what have you online. And I know that I've read quite a few of yours from some of your successful hunts that, have been published in local and regional and national level magazines. So I wanted to get your opinion on, and if not even maybe opinion, just some tips as far as things to consider while we're in the field, in preparation for if everything goes well and, you get a nice animal, or just you just have a great story. Give me some tips as far as some things that have worked for you and what to look for.
So, a lot of times we, like you said, you're in the field, you shot one of the best animals of your career, right? Whether it's a long career or short career, and you're just really excited and you want to share and you want people to experience, you want to share your experience. And so you're out there and you take a few pictures and high fives and everybody's all, you get the animal off the mountain or whatever you're doing and you get it all processed and you come back home and you sit down and you go, okay, I'm going to write this article. Right. And, most of the time, unless you have a really good memory, you forget some of the small details that actually make an article interesting. Okay. And if you read the, I subscribe to several of the magazines, Eastman Bow Hunting Journal being one of them. If you read their magazine or their style, all their stories are about, I went out, I hunted with my buddies, I killed it, right? And it was a great hunt. And not every magazine is into that style of writing or that kind of story. So why I bring that up is before you go hunting, if you have any aspirations of publishing an article, sharing your experience, which I encourage everyone to do because I enjoy reading the articles because they, long time ago, motivated me to actually write articles and hunt harder and, help me learn things, is to simply write down your goals ahead of time, before season starts, right? Mm-hmm. And the way I started was I was subscribing to a bunch of magazines. I had them all over in the bathrooms and on the coffee tables. And I just basically said one day, I said, I don't know why I can't be in a magazine. Right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Right, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are the same way. I'm tired of reading about Billy Bob shooting a whitetail. Why is he the expert? Right, I've killed a bunch of stuff. I have my own tips and tricks, and that's basically how I started. I set a goal that I wanted to be, published in a national periodical. How I started. And so I encourage everyone to write down what their goal is. You know, if the answer is I just want to be published in a local newspaper, that's fine. If you want to be a host of a TV show, that's fine too, but write it down so at least you know what your goal is. But then after that, you know, and all this helps you when you're on the mountain, and it'll help you recognize that this is the hunt I'm going to write about. Does that make sense?
Sure.
This is and I'll talk about this a little bit more, but these are the pictures I need to take while you're there. You have to have this presence about you on the mountain about, you're so excited that you need to take in the animal that, you know, you think, or animals, I'll say it that way, that will help you write an article. You have to have an awareness while you're in the field on what pictures to take, what details in your pictures to take, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. Because you already know, you already thought through this process of setting your goals and whatnot, what you need to do, what material you need, right? So then when you're in the field, you have all these elements to actually submit a very high-quality product that most likely will get some attention, is how I would say it. So, you know, write down your goal, whatever that might be, which is, I just want to write and share. You know, I want to be an expert. I want to make some money, because you can make some money writing articles. And you want to make a living writing articles, which is, I would not recommend starting there. But people can, you know, there's some people that they can. Dwight Hsu, famous Dwight Hsu editor, Bo Hunter Magazine, our former editor. You know, he came out of college and he said, I want to be an outdoor writer. And that was, you know, that was challenging for him, but he made it work. So I have thoughts to the, I call him the legend, is how I'd say. But anyway, and then, so once you have that goal written down, the content of your, of what you need to put in your article, you know, how do I know what to put in there? What kind of picture should I take? The best examples are just pick up the magazines that are on the magazine rack. You know, if you look at them, it's all, not always about, they usually have like one picture of the person holding the grip and grin, right? And then A lot of the other pictures are, you know, called infield photos, where it's a scene or something that supplements the story, like a big rub or a scrape if you're whitetail hunting, or a big rub if you're elk hunting, right? Or a scene of a herd of elk or whatever. Just look at some of the published articles and you'll start to see a pattern in the pictures and photos that the successful writers take to supplement their articles. And you have to make note of that, because when you're in the field walking around, you shoot the animal and you're like, great. And you submit your article and you got, you got the gut pile picture, you got the bloody hand picture, you got the grip and grin, you got your, you know, you never see it in a magazine, the, what I'll call the crotch shot, which is the guy straddles the animal, picks up the head, right? Ever seen that one?
Yeah,
that's a beauty. You'll never see that in a magazine. So, you know what I mean? And not to offend anybody, but these are the things that I'm talking about, of the quality of the pictures. And the pictures, like when you're walking out to wherever you're hunting, or, you know, when you're coming out of your truck or leaving camp, all those supporting photos are helps editors tell your story in the magazine. So the more pictures you can take, quality of pictures, the better chances you have, and that just gives the editors more material to choose from in you know, when it comes down to selecting an article.
Sure.
So you have to be mindful of that when you're walking around hunting, right? You're just out chasing elk. You got to go, stop, this is an awesome spot. Hold on, I got to take a picture. And your buddy's what? Are you kidding me?
Let me hold you up right there, Andrew.
Yep.
When you talk about taking pictures, and this is something that I've learned over time, and I'm not an expert by any means, but I used to walk around with a disposable camera in my early days. Just, you know, that's one back with film, right?
Yeah.
And then it got to where it was like, hey, you know what? I want to take better pictures. You look at them, you know, after you see them and you print your little 5x7s, and then you get anything bigger and it's just doesn't look very good.
Right.
So then I started progressing into a little bigger camera with a little bit better megapixels when they started coming out. And then now I carry my SLR everywhere.
Yeah, I do too. Yep.
And it's heavy. It's not small. I mean, I'm borderline. I've got a good digital camera that gets good megapixels, and I'm really tempted to start taking when I go, you know, three, 5, 6 day hunts.
Yep.
But I still, so touch a little bit on the camera just with quality.
So, you know, the cameras and quality are just like binoculars and spotting scopes, right? The main thing about cameras is the glass. How good is the lens? And that's really going to set the quality of your photo, number one. So, like you said, I run a DSLR, I run a Canon, I run a small, they call it small 6, which is a 60D, which is a cropped sensor camera, but it's a full-size DSLR. Compare that to like a 5D or 60D. Which are full frame cameras, which is my next move, but I carry a full size DSLR and NL quality lenses made by Canon. I'm not a Nikon guy in my pack. I run a 24x105 when I'm shooting video and also just shooting long range photos. And then I have a fisheye 10x20 as well. And that, like you said, it's not conducive to lightweight, you know, all the things you read about packet and high country hunting and being lean and mean. But I look at Aaron Snyder's photos, he's starting to do more of that stuff. You know, when I'm in a diaper, when I'm old and I'm in a nursing home in a diaper, the only thing that I'm going to have pictures to look at because my memory is going to be shot. That's the bottom line. So, you know, as you said, what I find myself looking at, reminiscing, if you will, over the years is photos, right, on the computer or in a book. And the pictures you take bring back the memories. A little bit of a tangent here. I went to Kodiak Island last year with Tim and a couple of buddies, and I took my DSLR and I was snapping photos, and I took my GoPro and I'm a rank amateur, but I was out there snapping photos the best I could. And at the end of that, I uploaded the photos and went to, I think, Walmart or Target.com and published an 8x10 book of all the photos and put little captions on it. And that book, basically, I'm looking at it right now myself. It's the cover's actually got a mural, figure with a wide angle picture on it of Tim walking on the beach at Kodiak with a full pack. And that book is full of all the pictures I took, the good pictures I took, and all the memories. Right? And I'll pick that thing up and just flip through it, and it'll just bring back that whole hunt for me.
Yeah.
As opposed to sitting on a, you know, airplane and going, I remember we were walking on that, because those pictures really, really bring things back in time, right? You can go back in time with pictures. So carrying a DSLR might seem, and a tripod, by the way, it might seem like a pain, but I think over the course of time, I think people will really start to appreciate the value in that when they look back at those pictures.
Yeah, I guess touching on two subjects at once, you know, I carry my camera, but especially on my last sheep hunt, I carried a little journal, if you will, right? I was writing it every day.
Oh, because yeah. Yeah, that was one of the points I wanted to make is that you forget those details. And you're exactly right. Carry a little spiral notebook. Write down every day. Before you go to bed, write down what happened.
And that's it, because it's like you said, it's the details that you whether you overlook or you just, oh yeah, I didn't think about that, you know. And mm-hmm. and I guess so I don't want to cut you off. So I mean, great pictures, quality equipment, take notes. What else? I mean, once you kind of start, you have your body of work, if you will.
Yeah.
And where do you go from there?
Well, so if you write your article, I've seen, you know, and figuring out what style you want to write it in. And there's a couple styles, which are, you just want to tell your story, right? Oh, yeah, I went to the mailbox. I drew in my, you know, tag of a lifetime. I couldn't have been more excited with scouting, et cetera. And that's fine. Just you know, figure out what style you want to write. And you go, well, how many styles are there? There's that one, which is you just tell your story. There's more of an instructional approach, and you'll see this a lot in the, I'll say more of the conventional bow hunting magazines, which is it's instructional. They kind of give you an outline or what to think about or what to do or how to do things, right? Tune your broadheads, okay? You know, check your draw length, that kind of stuff, right? So they break the article out into small sections and they write to each of those small sections. And if you're writing about your hunt, you can actually do that. You can say, day one, right? I did this. This is where tying it back to taking field notes is really important. Day two, right? This happened. Day three, this happened. Day four, and you can actually break out your article like that as well. Or you can do a combo of things, which is the instructional, which is on day one, we did this and we learned, oh, shoot, you know, we should have brought this tool or this equipment. So next time bring, you know, we'll remember to bring our rain gear, you know, or check the weather. So we can do a combination of things. And then maybe not so applicable to this conversation, but another way to write articles is to do evaluations of equipment, right? So I'm going to check the penetration of different broadheads as an example. So you do an experiment, you run some tests and all that, and you publish that. That's a different style of article. But if you're just out trying to say, hey, I'm going to tell my story, just write it down. And top to bottom, it should be about 1,500 words to 2,500 words. I'll tell you that 2,500 words is on the long side. If you can shoot for 2,000 words, great. And if you write in Microsoft Word, there's a word count feature that tells you exactly how many words you're at. So you can do that. And then write it and then set it down for a week. That'd be my recommendation. Because you're in there, you're writing, and all, you know, all your memories are coming back, and you're looking at your notes, and excuse me, you're looking at your pictures, and then you think you got it right. And then you'll set it down for a week, step away from it, come back to it, and read it again. You know, be your own editor. And you'll be like, you'll read it and go, what? That didn't make any sense. You know, because it made sense at the time, because the words were flying, the thoughts were flying so fast. And then when you're edit it yourself, then hand it out to a few people that you trust to actually edit or, you know, critique it as well. So if you, for instance, I send my stuff to my good friend Jeremy, my wife edits it, and I have, you know, a couple other guys look at it too, just to say, hey, is this, you know, is this good, or what don't you like about it? And so you have to take that criticism at face value and not get personally, you know, like feeling like they're attacking it, because they are going to make your article better. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, and then when you're at that stage, then you put it, you know, you can submit it. And the question is, where do you want to submit it? You want to hit the home run and submit it to like Bow Hunter Magazine, the largest periodical for bow hunters. That's going to be kind of tough. Those folks are picky, and they have a drawer full of articles that they can just pull from. So, and they do it seasonally. As an example, Bowhunter Magazine, they go, okay, well, spring bear season and turkey season is coming up. So, you know, in the January articles or the February article, issue, we're going to have just a spring turkey hunt dedicated, right, and bear hunt thing. And they already got articles they're pulling from out of the top drawer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and they have their established go-to writers. So as a new writer, that can be tough. But having said that, if you know, one of my favorite sayings is you can't win the game unless you know the rules. If you know that, now you can position yourself to submit the article at the right time. And that's another thing that people don't understand is, when do you submit, if you want a good chance of publishing it, when do you submit the article? When's the best time to do that? And all it takes is a simple phone call to these editors, and they'll tell you all that information. But I would recommend, crawl, walk, run. So if you got your article put together, you got your pictures, submit it locally. If they're, maybe you got an archery club that has a newsletter or something, start there. And I'm here to tell you, there's no shame in starting at the local level. Just submit it to the local paper, right? Just get your feet wet, get published, because it will be a pretty exciting time for you. I'll guarantee you that, just to see your name in 15 minutes of fame right there. And then, the other great place is every state has a bow hunting organization that has a periodical they send out quarterly or, at some interval. Colorado, it's the Colorado Bow Hunters Association magazine, comes out quarterly. And those are actually great outlets for getting your stories published. Those folks are always looking for material to publish. They're always looking for trophy photos. And don't limit yourself to in-state. Let's say Phil, you and I jam out to Idaho. We kill a couple bulls in Idaho, kill one, right? And we go, man, we'd like to get published. We would write an article, and then we'd submit it to the Idaho Bow Hunting Association, a periodical. Sure. So don't limit yourself to in-state. If you go to Kansas and you shoot a whitetail and you want to tell your story, submit it to the Kansas Bow Hunter Association and get your feet wet there, because a lot of the editors actually subscribe to their in-state Bow Hunter Association magazines, and they're going to read your article, and they'll start to pick up. They start to see you in the state level, right? They'll start to keep your – and then when you submit it to the national level, they won't just be surprised at the quality or the style of writing that you might have. And then if you get published there, by all means, shoot for the big time. Go to submit it to every year. Well, I should take that back. When you go to the national level, they get a little bit pickier. They want exclusive rights to your material. So if you write an article and you shotgun it out to Bow Hunter Magazine, Bow Hunting Magazine, Bow and Arrow Magazine, Whitetail Magazine, Eastern Bow Hunting Journal, and you shotgun it out there just hoping that one sticks, what will happen is, if it does stick, if you don't tell the other guys you did that, and another magazine picks up your article, that's pretty much a cardinal sin that your article is running in two magazines, and now neither magazine has what they call exclusivity of that material.
Right.
Right? And they'll tell you that. And if you have a habit of doing that, if you go, oh, I wasn't sure, I made a mistake, they might give you a pass, but the next time you do it, you're pretty much dead to them. They will not publish your stuff. So it's a little bit tricky on, target the magazine you want to be published in, right? Target it one at a time. So if I have an article, I'll send it to, say, Western Hunting, right? The guys down in Arizona, submit it to them. They'll say, nah, I don't want to publish that. Fine. Then move on, right, to the next person or the next person line, Eastman's Bow Hunter. They go, I don't want to publish that, and then you move it down the line. Do not shotgun it out, because if you get caught, that might not be a good career move for you.
No, and that's where this industry is such a small industry, even in the publications that, I'm sure that those editors or those, people that are putting those magazines, they probably talk to each other,
they
have mutual friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So that's it. And I agree, man. It's I've got a few articles that I've kind of started, and then the sheep hunt that I was just on is definitely one that I'm looking to put together. But I agree with you as far as start on that local regional level before you go and shoot for the stars, because you'll learn something every time you write an article. And even, I've gotten a couple smaller ones written, and it's some of them are more on the side of, you know, how-tos or reviews like you touched on. But even when you go from one article and start writing the next, sometimes it's a little easier. Sometimes you say, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot about this in the last, and I'm going to try to do this way,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So learn, grow, crawl, you know, at first. But
and the other thing is just write from a matter-of-fact perspective.
Yeah.
Don't add a lot of fluff. If the sentence is not, you know, is just verbose, or you have a sentence in there that's of no utility, it's just fluff, just get it out of there. I read an article once at the local level or regional level in our Colorado Bullhunter magazine. This gentleman, I guess he was trying to be William Shakespeare, going to prove that he could write with big, really big, fancy words. And I have a reasonable vocabulary, but, you know, when you have to go run to the dictionary, you know, every paragraph to figure out what this guy is saying, you're probably not going to connect with your target audience.
No, no.
Just write simple, you know.
No, that's it. And I guess the one last thing I'll say, and it's not even, it's just, again, elaborating a little bit more on what you said on the photos. I mean, you look at these print ads, and if you just calculate square inch space on a page,
mm-hmm.
two-thirds of it's going to be covered with pictures.
Yeah.
You know? So if you may have a great article, you know, you may have a great story, and if your pictures are borderline or they suck, it's
they won't
your chances, you know, yeah, it's just that. So anyway, I said before, yourself and Sean, you guys are very well-rounded outdoorsmen, you know, not just manufacturers. And I'm actually looking forward to trying to get him on here within the next week as kind of a part two to this this podcast here. You know, Sean Greathouse being your partner at Hamsky,
yeah.
And he's, you know, easy, right?
Yeah,
Sean Easy Greathouse.
That's right.
He he's a great guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. He just had some success in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And hunting whitetail and spot and stock. Not a lot of people, you know, do that.
That's right.
Not, so I'd like to talk to him here soon, hopefully about that story and touch on a few other things. But anything coming up down the line that you want to throw out there? Or maybe we talk about getting you guys on here in the future as far as the future of Hamsky and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've been working really hard on our next product that we're going to be bringing out here shortly. And we got a lot of moving parts to get there to hold our schedule. We got something brewing. I think folks are going to like it. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, and that's it, man. I don't want to spoil anything that you guys aren't ready to come out with, and look forward to hearing what that is when the time is right. But it's great to hear you guys are, I know you guys are always grinding, you know, and always thinking forward and wanting to keep the machine moving forward. So I'm excited to see that. I'm going to start recording again. Sorry about that little technical difficulties, but I was just kind of closing up here with, you know, you know, you guys make great stuff, and we look forward to seeing what's coming down the road and
appreciate that.
Supporting that. Yeah, no, I mean there's a few companies that I feel I would be loyal to, you know, as long as I'm in this game, and you guys are one of them because of it's just like I said, the personal relationships along with the quality of the product, it makes for an easy partnership.
I appreciate that, Phil. I know Phil, Sean does too.
Yeah, no, so I'm looking forward to talking with Sean and having you guys again. I mean, if, you know, once you are ready with your product, you know, I'd love to be able to feature that on a video or a podcast and get both you and Sean on just help do our part to spread the word, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, when we get it all in a nice little package, we'll definitely be giving you a shout.
Hey, man, that sounds good. And good luck this weekend. Hopefully you can shake off the sickness a little bit and get into some game.
Right on. Appreciate that. Well, thanks for having me on, Phil. Really appreciate it. Hopefully viewers can take what we've put out there today and put it to good use.
That's it. Like I said, just a few tips here, and really it's a matter of, like anything else, get out and apply yourself, everybody's going to have a little different method about how to do things, but get out there and figure out your method, and don't be afraid to fail once or twice.
That's right.
Or six times,
And don't take no for an answer. I mean, I've been told no more times than I've been published. I'll just say it that way.
That's it. This is one of those arenas. Don't be afraid to empty your quiver, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Just keep firing.
That's right. Digital bits are free, right? So
that's it.
Fire them around.
Hey, man, once again, I appreciate it. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your season. Everybody out there, be careful out in the field. Good luck. Wish everybody success. And we'll be catching up with you guys soon.
All right, Phil. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Yeah.